Welcome to the Rust Belt Klansman Show, right here on White Pride Radio. I am your host, Paul Brown, and I am broadcasting from beneath the fiery cross on a hillside somewhere in the Rust Belt region of America. Here on the Rust Belt Klansman, I begin with a commentary piece that concerns us as white American citizens. Then, I go through some mainstream media news articles and give you my honest opinion on each one. So let's begin with this evening's commentary piece.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I am your host, Paul Brown, and today is Tuesday, August 25th, 2026, and it is 7 p.m. here in the Rust Belt. This evening's commentary is titled, The Cultural Divide, The Crisis of Womanhood, and the Revitalization of Motherhood. Recent polling highlighted in The Independent reveals a profound cultural shift. Young women today hold significantly more negative views of men than any generation before them. Only about a third of women under 25 report a positive view of men, and this sentiment is amplified across social media platforms like TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Thousands of videos feature young women expressing distrust, frustration, or outright disdain toward men, often framed through themes of toxicity, danger, or male privilege. This digital chorus has become a cultural echo chamber, reinforcing the belief that men are inherently problematic and that relationships with them are fraught with risk. It is the result of decades of ideological evolution within the feminist movement. Feminism in the 1960s began with legitimate goals: expanding women's rights, opening educational and professional doors, and ensuring equal opportunity. But over time, certain branches of feminism shifted from advocating equality to promoting suspicion, even hostility, toward traditional family structures, marriage, and masculinity itself. The message became clear. Marriage is dangerous, motherhood is limiting, men are obstacles, independence means avoiding commitment, and fulfillment comes from career, not family. This worldview created a widening divide between men and women, one that has left many women emotionally adrift. It also produced a cultural paradox. Women have more freedom than ever before, yet report higher levels of anxiety, depression, loneliness, and dissatisfaction. The Independent article notes that young women are significantly more pessimistic about relationships, the future, and their own emotional well-being. Many wander through life with no clear sense of purpose, because they have been disconnected from the roles that historically provided meaning, identity, and emotional grounding. This raises a deeper question: what is the source of purpose? For generations, women found meaning not only in work, but in relationships, in marriage, motherhood, community, and family. They offered emotional grounding, unconditional love, and a sense of legacy. Today, many women have been encouraged to trade those foundations for corporate success, yet corporations cannot provide love, belonging, or identity. A job can offer achievement, but it cannot offer the emotional fulfillment that comes from raising children, building a home, or growing old with a partner. A provocative thought experiment illustrates the imbalance. If every woman left the workforce tomorrow, society would struggle but ultimately adapt. Men would continue working, infrastructure would continue functioning, and families would still exist. But imagine the opposite scenario. If every woman abandoned marriage, motherhood, and family to focus solely on career, society would collapse. Birth rates would plummet, family structures would dissolve, and the emotional and developmental foundation of future generations would disappear. Civilization cannot survive without children, and children cannot thrive without stable families. This reveals a truth modern culture often ignores. Women are essential to the continuity of the human race, the emotional stability of families, and the nurturing of future generations. When women step away from these roles entirely, the consequences ripple across society. Today's culture often reduces women to two roles: sex objects and corporate workers. Social media hypersexualizes women, rewarding appearance over character, validation over connection. At the same time, corporate culture celebrates women only when they mirror male productivity, long hours, constant ambition, and total devotion to career. Women aren't unhappy because they work. They're unhappy because culture has devalued the deeper meaning of womanhood. Being desired sexually does not bring love, and being valued only as a worker does not bring belonging or purpose. When women reject men entirely, reject marriage, reject motherhood, and embrace only career, they risk losing the deeper sources of meaning that human beings have relied on for centuries. The loneliness many women feel today is not a mystery. It is the predictable outcome of a culture that devalues connection. And when women elevate, quote, trans women, unquote, biological men identifying as women, above themselves, praising them as more authentic or more valid, it reflects not empowerment, but confusion and desperation. It suggests a loss of confidence in the value of womanhood itself. A meaningful solution to the cultural divide is the revitalization of womanhood, not by restricting women, but by restoring the value of motherhood and family. Scripture consistently elevates the roles of nurturing, teaching, and building a home as an honorable and deeply meaningful. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her," affirming the virtuous woman's impact through diligent household management and character. This highlights the joy and purpose found in family life. In 1 Timothy 5:10, Paul praises women who have brought up children and shown hospitality, presenting these acts as expressions of faith and love. These passages do not diminish women's ability to work or lead. Rather, they affirm that family, marriage, and womanhood carry profound spiritual significance. Revitalizing womanhood means recognizing that these roles can be sources of deep fulfillment, identity, and purpose, not obstacles to achievement. Revitalizing motherhood also means healing the divide between men and women. Men and women are not adversaries, they are partners. Healthy masculinity is not toxic. It is protective, stabilizing, and essential. Healthy femininity is not weak. It is nurturing, resilient, and foundational. When women embrace motherhood and partnership, and when men embrace responsibility and support, the divide begins to close. Women can and should pursue education, careers, and professional excellence, but family should not be sacrificed for career. Partnership should not be replaced by isolation. Motherhood should not be dismissed as outdated. True fulfillment comes from connection, love, partnership, and family. Women can reclaim purpose by embracing the fullness of their identity. Professional achievement alongside marriage, motherhood, nurturing, and community. Revitalizing motherhood is not about limiting women. It is about restoring meaning and purpose. It is about recognizing that the future of civilization depends not on corporate output, but on the strength of families and the love that mothers bring into the world. Labor Day is right around the corner. You know what that means. It's time for the Knights Party of the Ku Klux Klan Congress and Family Gathering for 2026. Not only is it America's 250th birthday, it's also the Knights Party's 70th birthday. We were founded in 1956 and remain the nation's oldest and largest white nationalist organization. Come join us for a weekend of music, great food, inspirational speeches, workshops, white Christian fellowship, and of course, our yearly cross-lighting and naturalization of new members who have taken the steps necessary to become a knight in our organization. This is a family event, so bring the kids along. There's plenty here to keep them busy. We have limited space in our men's and women's cabins, which, if you're interested in that, call immediately to reserve your spot. You can also pitch a tent, park an RV. There's no hookups available. And if you don't want to rough it, our private property isn't that far from Harrison, Arkansas, where you can stay at a motel or hotel. There is absolutely no cost to you to stay on our property for the weekend, and meals are included as well, free of charge. Donations will kindly be accepted, but not necessary to attend. Come spend a weekend in the beautiful Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. Please register now to attend so we know about how much food to purchase. Call 870-427-3414 during regular business hours. These times are Central Standard Times. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And closed Saturday and Sunday. Where is everyone shopping? They're shopping at the American Heritage Store. While visiting our public website, found at www.kkknationaloffice.com, don't forget to tap on the American Heritage Store logo. We have many items at very reasonable prices. We have books, belt buckles, t-shirts and sweatshirts, hats, pins, jewelry, flags, and many other items. There's something for everyone. So check out the store and find gifts for your loved ones or yourself. You're sure to find something. We are now taking credit cards too. Come see what you can find. And remember, each purchase goes to the survival of our white race.
You call me a racist for speaking the truth. You tell me to categorize by the things I see. I guess the truth hurts when you're caught in the act. Expect no consequences. Cry out, you're mentally ill. I guess I'm racist because I say we shouldn't all live in fear. In fear of the mentally ill killing my people every day you are. A low IQ doesn't give you the right to kill. Kill over consequences you cause. Should we a free pass? Because you're inferior. Up by statistics that aren't in your favor. Is that my fault? My fault, how God created you. I guess I'm racist because we aren't equal. No, we're not the same. Can't change how God created you. I guess I'm racist for calling out the truth. I don't need to lie. We all see what you are, just an animal. Wild with no restraint. I guess I'm racist for wanting safety for my people. Safety from the beast inside you. When I speak, you hate what I. But that doesn't make me racist. I guess if it does, I take comfort in knowing God must be racist too. Because he made you, but not equal to me. So call me what you will. I'll continue speaking. I don't really care what you think of me. I guess what I'm saying is, go ahead and call. All I speak is truth, and if that me races, I take pride in being so.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking around for the second part of this Tuesday evening show. That commentary was awesome. Now, I don't write those. I found that on the internet. And It's actually what is happening. Our enemies wanted to destroy the traditional family. And is it any wonder, there's a couple things there that the commentary I don't think hit on that's very important. Today, biological women, they have to be and have to feel devalued as a woman when all it takes is a man to put on a dress and he's called a woman. Doesn't go through women's things. Such as a period, ovulation, things like that. So when a woman sees that a man can be called a woman simply by putting on a dress and doesn't go through the things that a biological woman does. Now listen, even if he gets his dick cut off, he's not going to have a period. He's not going to ovulate. It's impossible. But I'm not even getting on that because we know how ridiculous it is for a man to think he's a woman, even to the point of going through the surgery. This screams mental illness. But back to the women. A guy can throw on a dress. He gets access to ladies' bathrooms, locker rooms, and even showers. So think about how much hate has to become part, or has to, a woman that has to have hate for men in general, because this is what they have to go through to try to keep men out of their private things. So, eventually, and think about it, guys. If, I don't know, like a men's club or something like that, if all a woman had to do was put on a pair of overalls and call herself a man, gain access to our restrooms, our sports, our showers, locker rooms. Sooner or later, we're going to start looking at women with hate. So is it any wonder? And that leads to, and think about this, this is the bigger picture to destroy the traditional family, is for women to hate men and men to hate women. And this is how it's being done. Did you ever think about that? That's the sole purpose of this idea that men can become women and vice versa. Now, here I have two articles, each the same person in this story, and it's not really about this person. The first article I have here for this evening comes from Red State. And the headline is, I Stand With Clancy. Accused child murderer support groups gain traction. Is this what society has become? Not only do women hate men, now do they hate children? There are a lot of younger women today that say they don't want kids. there's no plan in their life whatsoever at any time to have children. Is this why? The support for a child murderer? This woman is batshit crazy. And listen, it can't be blamed on postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is a real thing. Yes, it is. And since I've gathered these articles about this subject, yesterday I saw something about they're saying that maybe the father killed the children and put the blame on his wife because she had problems with depression, postpartum depression. I don't believe it, because why would have she jumped out of a second story window and messed herself all up? The husband was out getting a dinner and something else, and come home to find his children in the basement with bungee cords around their necks, and his wife laying outside, I guess in the lawn, from jumping from the window. Depression is a big problem in today's times. I actually take a depression medication. But you know what? Even in my worst, and I mean horrible, depression, when I lost my mother 2 years ago, I never felt depression in my life like I felt then. And I still, after almost 2 years, she passed away October 11th, and this year makes 2 years, I still suffer badly with depression over that. But not one time did I ever feel like killing children. Not one time did I ever feel like killing adults, but especially children. You know, just like I say, a low IQ is no excuse to get away with murder. Neither is depression. I have had, I guess in my heart I still have, a brother-in-law that killed himself. He shot himself in the head over PTSD from Vietnam. Unimaginable depression, I'm sure. You know, I can't imagine any war, but especially Vietnam. I can't imagine, and if you were in Vietnam and listening to the show, thank you for your service. I can't imagine the brave men and women sent to Vietnam and fought for their lives, you know, the survivors. I can imagine how ecstatic they were to not have been killed in the jungle. And then to come home and be spit on and called child murderers. Listen, you may tell yourself that you wouldn't shoot a child coming at you carrying a grenade. And if you tell yourself that in your head, you're only lying to yourself. That's all it can be. You're lying to yourself. Nobody wants to die. all the brave men and women in Vietnam wanted to come home. Those kids were trained to kill. But back to my point, I don't know of any Vietnam veteran, and I do believe the Vietnam veterans have the highest percentage of suicides, and that's a shame. But I don't ever remember seeing anywhere that Vietnam vets support killing children. You know, if there was a Vietnam vet that killed his family, children included, I don't think there would be a group of Vietnam vets in support of what he did. I don't. I could be wrong, but I don't. I don't think any Vietnam vet would support another Vietnam vet murdering their children. Yet here we have women praising and standing with a child murderer. Let's get into this article here. A growing number of women are crashing out online over a child murderer case that has turned into a demented cause célèbre. Let's not get it twisted. You can have sympathy for mothers. You can have sympathy for mothers who have postpartum psychosis. You can have sympathy for mothers who have been failed by a medical system. But let's not have too much sympathy for mothers who strangle their own children with exercise resistance bands because you turn a heartless monster into a poster woman for your movement. You might have a slight problem. You have to have more than a slight problem. I don't know if there's a correlation with some of the things that were in the commentary piece. I don't know if maybe these women that are supporting this child murderer, to support the murder of a child. You know, you have to hate kids. You have to. Just like the Democrats. They hate kids as well. They let them go through sexual mutilations. They think it's okay to take a kid to a pride parade where a guy's walking down the street with his schlong hanging out, and they think this is great. Yet, if a guy gets caught taking a piss outside of a playground, he's called a pedophile. He's getting charges. But yet in today's society, if you say you're gay or whatever you say you are to, you know, think it's okay to prance down the road with your dick hanging out for children to see. I don't know what you would call yourself. I know what I call you, and I can't say it here on the show, but I know what I got a name for you. Is this what women are being molded into? You know, they don't want children for themselves. Do they pity this Clancy? I don't even know what her first name is. Do they pity her because she had children and then killed them? And they think because they don't want children that she has the right to kill her children because she didn't want them. I don't know, and I'm not saying that this is the reason. This is my opinion, though. You know, there has to be a bigger picture and a bigger reason for women to support another woman that killed her kids. Just in case you've somehow been able to dodge this mortifying story that has exploded onto social media, Lindsay Clancy is on trial in Massachusetts on 3 counts of murder and the deaths of her children, Cora 5, Dawson 3, and Callan 8 months old. Her lawyers do not dispute that she strangled the children with exercise bands in January of 2023. So we're not debating whether or not she killed her children. Clancy is not even disputing it. So again, this theory of the dad doing it. I don't know any woman that her husband killed her kids that's going to turn around and cover his ass by saying she did it. There's no way. This has become a battle over a simple question. Who is the real victim here? And anybody that says the mother is the victim, you're out of your mind. I don't care what your problem is. There is nothing in this world that should cause you to kill your children other than the fact you didn't want them. Her defense team is contesting whether she was criminally responsible at the time, arguing that she was suffering from postpartum psychosis, and doctors had prescribed her a startling series of benzodiazepam derivative drugs and even an antipsychotic medication for sleep. Now, the benzodiazepine, that was probably either Valium or Xanax in that family. You know, that's some pretty heavy. Now, it doesn't say what the antipsychotic medication was. But still, these medications should mellow you out, especially benzodiazepines. You know, this woman should have been slobbering in the corner somewhere if she has never taken benzodiazepines before, because they are very very strong. They're not prescribed like they were years ago. The Rolling Stones, their song Mother's Little Helper was about mothers taking Valium back in the day. That's what that song was about. Mother's Little Helper, Valium. There is plenty of circumstantial evidence, however, that points in the direction of her having planned the execution of her children, such as sending her then-husband, Patrick, out on errands, checking his travel time, and the heinous manner she strangled each of her children, one by one. Think about the hate and rage she had to have for those children, one at a time. The last one she killed got to watch her kill the first two. Think about that. Going right down the line, I don't know if it gets in here to who was first, it doesn't matter. One of those children, before their death, watched their mother kill two of her siblings. Or two of their siblings. How could this person, how could this woman, and I use that name lightly, woman, have people supporting her? What is happening outside the courtroom is something else entirely. Representative Nancy Mace recently drew attention to the online movement surrounding Clancy, where supporters have adopted slogans such as, "I stand with Lindsay," worn coordinated pink clothing, produced merchandise, and flooded TikTok with videos presenting themselves as emotionally connected to her case. Even going as far as going out and having merchandise made for sale. This is insane. Is this what our society has come to? If it is, God help us all. Because I don't think a lower crime could be committed than to harm or kill a child. I can't understand. I don't know if the ages come in here at any point in this article or the next, but this is what happens when children don't go to elementary school, they don't go to high school, they don't go to college, they go to indoctrination camps, each one pounding and pounding more indoctrination into their minds till they come out and this is what you have. A society that has some women celebrating another woman that killed her three children. You know, she didn't drive off of a cliff, kill them all at one time, kill herself, one by one. Anybody that supports her can't have children. If you're listening to the show right now, and you're a mother and you have children, look at your children right now and ask yourself, is there anything that you could go through that would make you want to murder your children? And if there's a woman out there listening that says, well, I don't know, you're the biggest piece of shit that walks the earth. Plain and simple. You know, I don't mince words on this show, and I'm sure I upset some people. I probably hurt some people's feelings. But tough. Tough. You know, this is where we've come to. Somebody has to be telling it the way it is. And getting things set straight. I'm not saying I know everything, but by far, I'm not saying I know everything. I'm not well-versed. I don't know a lot of fancy names. I mispronounce fancy words on the show, I'm sure, all the time. But sometimes it takes a type of shock value to open somebody's eyes. You know, a good kick in the ass, maybe to open some eyes. That's what I do. And, you know, we're not gonna come together and say this is enough by listening to people that are gonna set and bullshit you, lie to you, make everything unicorns and butterflies. We're not going to wake anybody up to what's really going on that way. I guess there was a meme made here. I don't know what this means. It says there is no evidence Casey Anthony posted the meme, but the movement backing Lindsey Clancy is very real. I don't know what meme they are talking about. I didn't see anything that I read anything about a meme. Here, somebody said, hundreds of women dressed in pink gathered outside a Massachusetts courthouse this week in a show of support for Lindsey Clancy, the former labor and delivery nurse accused of killing her three children. So here, this woman, a former labor and delivery nurse. Imagine having someone like that care for your child while you're in the hospital nursery until you go home. You would think that a former labor and delivery nurse would just love children. Kind of makes you wonder why, and why a former labor and delivery nurse. Was there maybe some hints before that Lindsey Clancy really didn't like kids, or what was it? I don't know. I'm not saying that's why she's a former nurse. I'm just saying, could that be a possibility? Here's some more. It says, wearing shirts bearing slogans including Believe, She Needed Help, and Peace for Lindsey. Supporters lined the streets outside Plymouth Superior Court in Massachusetts at Clancy's murder and trial as it enters its final stages. For many, the demonstration was not simply about one defendant, but a broader belief that women's mental health concerns are too often dismissed by the medical system. How can you say she didn't get help? They gave her benzos and some kind of antipsychotic. And if that didn't work, if that wasn't helping, I'm sure the husband would have taken her somewhere else. I'm sure of that. You would, even if you've got a shred of humanity in your body, if you started having the thoughts of killing your children, have somebody else watch them until you get through what you get through, or get yourself to a hospital and admitted to a mental ward until your mind is clearer. I cannot believe that anybody could have those thoughts and not try to seek more help. And listen, it's not that she didn't receive help. If you go to any emergency room in any hospital in America and you tell them that you feel suicidal or you feel like you want to kill your children, they will get you where you need to be to get some help. And I'm sure there's other organizations out there that would do the same. But the phenomenon is much bigger online. Women have posted videos of themselves holding their own babies and crying while excerpts from Clancy's writings play over the footage. Some have used captions such as, "Same, Lindsey." Other posts have framed the case as something almost universally relatable to motherhood. They're using Lindsey Clancy's diary words read in court to make videos with their babies, and they are all fake crying. This is a woman I posted about earlier who I said her child was in danger. If listening to a child's killer's diary makes you relate to her and post these reactions, I stand by what I said. I think the child is in danger. Well, you don't stand alone, because I think the same thing. There is now even I Stand With Lindsey merchandise. Shirts, hats, stickers, mugs, socks, and bags marketed as expressions of solidarity, compassion, and support. Then there's the money. How could anyone want to profit over such a tragedy? There's three dead babies here, and a woman responsible for killing three babies. And it's, she had to be so full of hate. Strangle each one, one at a time. The last one to die, watch the other two die. And I'm sure even as a child, saw that that wasn't a pleasant thing. Mommy wasn't giving you a hug around the neck with a cord. They had to know what was going on. Maybe not the 8-month-old, but if the 8-month-old was the last one to be murdered, I'm sure that 8-month-old knew, you know, something isn't right here. You know, why don't people put the babies on t-shirts? Put the babies on t-shirts with the elastic exercise band around their neck. Where's the counter protesters? A GoFundMe established for Clancy's parents has blown past $1 million with nearly 31,000 contributions as of Friday night. The fundraiser is formally intended to help Michael and Paula Musgrove cover the enormous expense they have incurred while relocating and supporting their daughter through years of court proceedings. There is nothing inherently objectionable about helping elderly parents who have watched their family collapse. But 31,000 donations tell you something about the extraordinary emotional constituency that has formed around this case. Somebody said, "We need to bring back mental institutions ASAP. We can start with these 31,000 monsters." This is what a Kyle Becker said. I agree 1,000% with his ideology. The internet has taken a courtroom dispute over criminal responsibility and transformed it into something bordering on fandom. I understand the argument being made by many of these women. Postpartum psychosis is real, it is rare, and in severe cases, it can involve hallucinations, delusions, and catastrophic behavior. Estimates commonly place its incidence at roughly 1 or 2 cases per 1,000 births. Clancy's defense called forensic psychiatrist Philip Resnick, who testified that he believed she was psychotic and unable to distinguish right from wrong when the killings occurred. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Not to kill three babies right in a row, the same exact way. What does psychosis have to do with murdering her three children? There's a lot of people that have mental illnesses, schizophrenia, things like that. Don't make them want to kill kids. You know, that this whole idea is a cop-out. Maybe until this show airs, I don't know how far into the trial it is. But if there has been a decision before this show airs, I will definitely do that Thursday evening. Clancy's defense calls forensic. Oh, okay, we read that. But recognizing a psychiatric condition is different from building a social movement around the person who killed three children. Something culturally sinister is happening. Ah, there. Maybe I'm on to something with the indoctrination that women go through that maybe that make this seem like an okay thing. I don't know. I don't know anybody in my generation that would clamor around a child murderer. But look at the crazies you see out there today. You know, many times these, and I'm sure you've seen plenty of these bat shit crazy women doing videos and things like that. Men too, but we're talking about women here. And, you know, in my generation, I don't know anybody that I would have graduated with that would act this way, that would support child murder, or would even kill their children, let alone support a child murderer. It says something about where society's headed. And something culturally sinister is happening. Social media rewards emotional exhibitionism. It rewards people for showing everyone how compassionate, how understanding, and how virtuous they are. Apparently, saying three children were killed and their deaths should remain the center of this story is now too straightforward. You know, there's lots of things in today's world that are so twisted. Twisted to make it fit what society is coming to. And for example, you know, you have a guy, he thinks he's a woman. And you have a woman that thinks she's a man, and they get together as a couple. And this happens. Because this is where men can have babies comes from. It's a woman saying she's a man. It's not a man having a baby. But this is where society has brought us. And this is the bullshit pushed down our throats that we're supposed to believe. And if you don't believe it, then you're homophobic. Listen, whatever God says is wrong, I believe to be wrong. So if I'm homophobic, then so is God. But we're talking about something culturally sinister happening. It is. You see it. You see it. This is a clear different world. And, you know, people my age would have never, ever imagined that we could be here in 2026. You know, if somebody would have told me as a young man this was going to become popular in 30 years, I'd have laughed in their face and said, yeah, right. I don't know what you're smoking, but maybe you better stop. But here we are. Let's see. Apparently, okay, we read that too. You need a pink shirt. You need a crying TikTok. You need the slogan. And eventually the cause could become detached from the victims entirely. This isn't an entirely new human impulse. Ted Bundy's 1979 murder trial drew large numbers of young female spectators, some of whom openly admitted they were fascinated by him. Studying true crime culture have documented similar fan behavior surrounding Bundy, Richard Ramirez, Charles Manson, and other notorious killers. Social media has simply industrialized it. The difference now is that everyone gets to become a broadcaster, amateur psychiatrist, and detective all at once. The Guardian recently described the Clancy phenomenon as, quote, forensic fandom, unquote. Online communities treating real horrible cases like serialized television mysteries, searching for hidden clues and alternative villains because the ugly reality is emotionally unsatisfying. Some Clancy supporters even pushed series accusing her former husband, Patrick, of killing their children, despite surveillance and phone evidence placing him at CVS when the killings occurred. So much for following the actual defense. And this story goes on a little bit further, but I don't need to go any further into it. That pretty much summed everything up. Now, this second article I have is the same woman. This comes from the Western Journal, and the headline is Lindsay Clancy blamed, quote, a male voice, unquote, for ordering her to kill her children. Court testimony. So this come out of her mouth, a male voice. What's happening culturally? Women hate men. So much so that she thinks that this would be a good defense to say a male voice told her to, ordered her to kill her children. What does she think? Maybe, you know, by saying that, her husband will be arrested? Two witnesses in the murder trial of Lindsay Clancy say she told them a male voice told her she needed to kill her children and herself. Okay, she's 36. Clancy, 36, is on trial for murdering Cora, 5, Dawson, 3, and Callan, 8 months, in the family home in Duxbury, Massachusetts. Now, here's some new stuff about it. After killing the children, she tried to kill herself by slashing her wrists and neck and leaping from a second floor window. She was paralyzed from the waist down, according to the Boston Globe. I thought when I saw a little bit of a video, it looked to me like she was in a wheelchair, kind of. Clancy's attorneys claim she was not responsible for the killing because she suffered from postpartum psychosis. So this is just pretty much more about what I just went over in the other article. But what made me pick that is she's blaming a male voice. So I don't believe a voice told her to do anything. I think the way society is, you know, that women don't want children. Women hate men. They distrust men. This Lindsay Clancy, she has to see this. We see it. We live in it. It's culture today. So by saying a male voice told her to do it, does she think that maybe that might get her off the hook if she could blame it on a male, even if the male didn't exist? You know, I don't believe a voice told her to do jack shit, but I think she's saying a male voice because culturally women today, a lot of women, hate men. And like I said, there's probably more to that reason, too. When, you know, women are degraded to the point that a man can put on a dress, a man can put on a dress and call himself equal to the woman. You know, enough of that is going to piss some women off. No doubt, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit. God bless these women that are standing up to the things, you know, like that. What I don't understand is, where are the men? You know, I don't see any big stories where men are taking up for women that don't want to see dick in their bathrooms, locker rooms, showers. Where are the men? Have we come to this point in society too, where the men don't give a shit what happens to the women? What are they thinking? Let her fight. She's doing a good job. Let her fight. Come on, guys out there. I'm sure you have, if you don't have children, you might have nieces, grandchildren, spouse, girlfriend. And you don't feel any desire to help them out, to get these men out of their private areas, out of their sports. I mean, I don't understand. Where's everybody's backbone? You know, this is a fault of white people. Compassion. It's good to be compassionate, don't get me wrong. But too much compassion in the white race is focused on non-white races, not their own. You know, white people wouldn't walk across the street to piss down another white person's throat that their guts were on fire. But if it's a non-white, right to the aid, ready to help. Oh, that poor person. You know, you see a white veteran living in a cardboard box, and beside him, you got some low IQ criminal, illegal alien holding a coffee can wanting money. immediately white people think, because we're told this, we need to help these people, would bypass the white veteran living in a cardboard box to drop a couple coins in some shitbag illegal alien criminal's little can. Now, I'm not saying all white people are like that, but there is enough white people like that that it has us in the shape that we're in. You know, there are so many things happening right now today that a few years ago was wrong. What was once wrong is now right. What was once evil is now godly. But to some people, I will say the LGBTQP plus alphabet agenda will actually come out and say God's gay or Jesus is trans. I've seen the articles. You know, if you're a sexual deviant, by saying God is a sexual deviant, do you really think that's going to get you into heaven? I can't help but think, but it's going to be much worse when you meet your maker and he remembers that you called him a homosexual. Big surprise coming for a lot of people, the supporters of this stuff. You're going to pay just as the person committing the crime. And I always say this, you can't support homosexuality and not have homosexuality in the back of your head. You just didn't realize that you're a homosexual too. You know, the whole idea of, well, as long as they don't try anything with me, throw that shit right out the window and quit worrying about yourself. What if they do something to somebody else? Stop the greed. You're not the only person. You know, so many people today have ideas about things that are, the idea is from a minute percentage of people. So these people that say, oh, well, I support homosexuality because you think it's the end thing to do. You know, people taking their kids to a pride parade because they think showing their child a dick flopping around somehow will help that child. Oh, it's good for him. It'll teach him to be more compassionate. That sounds like words of a groomer, if you ask me. So, there you go. Those two articles took up a lot of time this evening, but I thought they kind of fit in with the commentary almost perfectly tonight. Let's see what else I have. Okay, I'll do this article. I'll say a little bit about this article. There was a press release yesterday from the Knights Party that's listed on the show page of the show. If you want to see the press release from the Knights Party. Go to SaveOurAmericanHeritage.com, and it will be the first press release there. So if you want the Knights Party view of it. This comes from Fox News, and the headline is, country singer Kacey Musgraves turns concert into plea for kids whose parents were deported unfairly. Now, wait a minute. If you're here illegally, see, this is the problem with birthright citizenship. You know, you have these third world chit bags come here, drop a kid, the kid's automatically a citizen. And then the illegal thinks that, you know, they can ride on the coattails of the kid being a citizen. And many of these people, maybe they've been here for years. Who cares? If you're here illegally, who cares? And who's telling you to leave your kid here? If you're here illegally and you're being deported, wouldn't it make sense to pack up and take the child with you? Please do. I don't like this idea of birthright citizenship, and this is what it causes. And I don't know anything. I hate country music. I don't know who this Kacey Musgraves is or what hits she may have. I don't care because, you know, 9 chances out of 10, when a so-called, quote, star, unquote, comes out and says something, it's totally for the minority. You know, I believe this Musgraves, I don't think, is there a picture here? Yes, maybe. No, I don't think she's all white anyhow. I was going to say this is a white person sticking up for deported parents. And we have that culture as well. Now, like I said, I'm not going to get into this article. Go to Save Our American Heritage, all lowercase letters, SaveOurAmericanHeritage.com, and you can read the press release. But my point is, all of these prominent people that stand up and put their 2 cents in are against the bad people. Not the good people, the bad people. And we all know who runs Hollywood, who runs media, social media, who runs mainstream media. Jewish run things, people that brought us pornography, people that told us multiculturalism and diversity was the thing to do, even though Israel isn't that way. But it's good for us. And these movie stars and stars, you know, it's hard to tell how they got to where they are. We'll put it that way. You know, these people that they show just beginning and singing or just becoming an actor, and all of a sudden they shoot to the top. In my opinion, there was something done to shoot to the top. It's not that you're the best singer, you're the best guitar player, drummer, whatever. Actor, you had to have done something that pleased the Jews to get to where you're at. Just like here. Turned a concert. People paid money to go see this person. And like I said, I don't know any of her songs or, you know, anything like that, because I don't like country music. But it doesn't matter who it is. You collect money from people buying tickets to go to your concert, and then you turn it into an indoctrination. I hope there was enough people that paid money to go to that concert that was against her indoctrination and never buy another single ticket or another single release from this Kacey Musgraves. She has shown who she is. So like I said, go to SaveOurAmericanHeritage.com and you can read the press release there. Here's one, I don't know. You guys may have heard this. This comes from One America News Network. Headline, previously hidden evidence revealed. Carmelo Anthony said he was, quote, on the verge, unquote, of stabbing someone hours before the murder. This little thug had it planned. You know, I saw the best meme possible. I can't remember if it was on X or on Gab. And it showed this worthless thug strapped in the electric chair. And the first thing that popped into my head is that even that's too good for him. And, you know, his own people make me feel that way. Because, you know, justice, I think he should have got more time. But I think I believe he got 22 years. But I have a more disdain for this little bastard. Because his people stood up, were beating up random white people, and telling them, this is from Carmelo. And, you know, a couple articles about it, and then it all got quiet. Don't hear about it anymore. But this is how blacks want to act when one of their own has a consequence for murdering somebody. And here, even hours before he did it, he said he's on the verge of stabbing somebody. Now, whoever he told that to should have went straight to the authorities with it. Let's get into this article a little bit. Evidence previously withheld from the jury was revealed during a new Collin County court hearing in the trial of 19-year-old Carmelo Anthony, the defendant in the case of the fatal stabbing of student Austin Metcalf at a high school track meet in April of 2025. According to prosecutors on Thursday, Anthony had previously sent his ex-girlfriend violent and disturbing text messages, and Austin Metcalf and his twin brother, Hunter, have a juvenile criminal record. Despite the critical details surrounding the case, the jury was not shown them during the trial. This was due to an off-the-record gentleman's agreement proposed by Wisecree aimed at keeping the highly publicized trial from becoming more volatile and racially charged. So here we go again with this catering to non-white people. All the evidence should have been shown. The little bastard, in my opinion, should have went to the electric chair. And if there was any uprisings anywhere in America, military should have been sent to take care of it. We shouldn't have to suffer because it pisses some people off that have a consequence. That's a really big thing wrong in our society right now. We cater to people so we don't piss them off. If you're the right color. If you're white, your ass is going to the pokey, for sure. You're going to get your consequences. Maybe we should go out and act like retards. Maybe we'd get away with some stuff. And I'll say this, I say it all the time in the show, make no mistake, I am totally against vigilante violence against any person or organization. Such acts are stupid, and this is what our enemy wants us to do. Because believe me, they like nothing better to see us in jail, in prison. Look at J6. And, well, that's it. I just don't condone it. I don't think we have to take that route. What needs to be done is our people need to be woken up to what is actually happening. Stop pitying criminals. Stop pitying illegals. Nobody told them to come here. You know, you take a chance when you come here illegally. Maybe you're going to get caught. And when you get caught, you're being determined. Doesn't matter how many kids you have. Stop pitying and using the child as leverage. If you're a parent and you're being deported and you're going to let your child behind, that's criminal. Then you're not much of a parent. Pack your kid up and take them with you. We didn't break up a family. You did by being here illegally. Just because your child's legal didn't give you legal status. You can't be that stupid. Well, I take that back. I take that back. Today's times, maybe that's a possibility. But there. However, Anthony's messages were not only new crucial pieces of evidence kept from the jury, as Thursday afternoon's proceedings also revealed Metcalf and his twin brother's juvenile criminal record. Who cares if they had a criminal record? I mean, they shouldn't had a criminal record, but they did. And their criminal record wasn't that they murdered somebody. Let's see if it says what they did. The record shows that the twins had previously assaulted two female students on separate occasions. They also revealed allegations that the twins bullied a black student in class in October 23, as well as painting graffiti that contained vile, racist stuff. Well, okay, it's illegal to graffiti things. Racial slurs are protected under the First Amendment. Am I encouraging people to use them? No. If you so desire, you're legally protected. Hate speech is free speech. Where the line is crossed is when you commit violence towards a person or organization. That is illegal. But we have the right to say anything we want to, as long as it's not threatening. And if a race can't contain the beast within, that you get triggered when you hear a word that you use as a term of endearment for a black friend, then what's wrong with that picture? Is that saying now that we have different speech for different people? Some people can say this, but others can't. Bullshit. We all have free speech. And listen, I don't care who calls me a racist. I'll enjoy that song at the beginning of the show I wrote. I wrote the lyrics. The rest of it's AI. But that was me. I don't care who calls me racist, who calls me a honky, who calls me a cracker, whatever other names non-whites have for us. I'm sure there's some that I don't know. I don't have a little book here keeping up with racial slurs. But I don't care what anybody calls me. Because if a black comes up to me and calls me a cracker, that doesn't give me the right to cause violence against that person. They have that right. But see, it has to be a two-way street. If you can't control your anger to the point that a word triggers you, maybe a mental institution might help you a little bit. We shouldn't have people walking around us, among us in society, that will kill you over a word and get away with it or get a slap on the wrist. Oh, well, you shouldn't have said that. Well, it was free speech. I'm allowed to say that. Don't flip the script. I'm allowed to say it. Nobody's allowed to touch me for saying it. And if I say it, and I get the piss beat out on me by a dozen black people, you know, it's usually never one-on-one, they committed a crime, not me. It's legal for me to use racial slurs. What's illegal is when you cross that line into violence. You know, that's why I say all the time on the show, I do not condone vigilante violence against any person or against any organization. You know, everybody has rights. You know, I'm not allowed to take somebody's right just because I don't think they should have it. And when it comes to illegals and people saying illegals are suing the government, or they're not citizens. They don't have the right to sue. These dirtbags that cross the border illegally, they have no rights. None. There's a lot of things wrong with America. A lot. I've posted things on Gab that got some comments, and one was about I even forget what it was about, something about America's Dead. And I said, you know, you're allowed to think that. I don't believe it is. It needs a lot of help, that's for sure. And we need to band together to help America. But kind of lost my train of thought there, what I was going to say, my point I was going to make. But anyhow, more evidence. You know, this is kind of like the George Floyd overdose. You know, we got a little bit of information. What was it, the first 9-second clip that come out from mainstream media or some wacko on the street that thought, you know, the black guy shouldn't get arrested or the black guy shouldn't be manhandled. He wasn't manhandled. He was in the back of that cruiser once. He crawled out of the cruiser and Officer Chauvin did what he had to do to keep him there, to keep him away from going out and hurting somebody else. And let's talk about being high and driving. Let's talk about the fake $20 bill that even brought the police there. He did that himself. He brought the police there by using a fake $20 bill to buy a pack of cigarettes. Yet he was high as hell, so he had money for dope. But try to pass a fake 20. And then when the cops get there, act like a total jackass. How was those police officers supposed to know he was high off his ass? That's not their job. Their job is to protect and serve. And when George Floyd started acting like an idiot, they had to get control. They had to take control. And Derek Chauvin used a tactic that he was taught in the police academy to use. George Floyd overdosed under the knee, unfortunately, of a white officer, and that's all the left needed to take and run with it. There is an innocent officer in prison right now. And then you wonder why cops get an attitude? I can't imagine. And thank you for your service too, if you're listening and you're a police officer, because I can't imagine having your job. And especially in this day and age, we need to support law enforcement, not out doing acts of violence against people or organizations or buildings. We need to support law enforcement. That includes ICE. That includes if the military has to go into a city because you got certain races burning them to the ground, looting stores empty, and then wonder why they close shop and leave. Then you want to try to sue them for, I saw that, I even forget what it was called, Walgreens. There was a big crowd of black people. And one was at the podium, and I forget what they said. I think it was Walgreens. I forget what they said Walgreens was doing wrong, and what it was. Walgreens was losing money at that location because of retail theft. So, if you have a certain percentage of your people causing havoc, support law enforcement. Let law enforcement do what they have to do to stop retail theft, riots, whatever. And in my opinion, I believe, you know, like if it's to the point where the military's called in, they should have the right, no questions asked, to use lethal force. And here's my theory. Even if a police officer Even like tear gas. I saw the guy with it whining about he might lose his eye forever. Even if you're injured at one of your so-called protests, suck it up. I'm sure that wasn't the first thing the officers did was fired in tear gas. You know, if you don't want hit by projectiles of law enforcement trying to gain control, then maybe you shouldn't be on the street acting like a fool. Then you'd be safe. But I do believe that when it gets to the point that military is called in, they should be allowed to use lethal force. And I don't mean to start when half the country's burning down, because I'll guarantee you this. If the military is sent in the next time there are people rioting and burning down stores, looting stores empty, even if it's white people, which a majority of it isn't, but I'm saying even if it's white people, military should be able to go in there, no questions asked. If they're aiming at one person and they hit somebody different, tough shit, you shouldn't have been there. You took your chance when you went to something like that. And I guarantee you, if that happened in one city, the rest would all stand down. The reason this shit happens is because we allow it. And I don't mean by vigilante violence, I mean by law enforcement. Support law enforcement. Plain and simple. With that, guys, I'm going to close out this Tuesday evening show. I will be back here Thursday, August 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you're new to the show, every Tuesday and Thursday, the new shows drop. Live shows are going to be on X Spaces. I want to try them. I have a pair of headphones ordered that will connect to this microphone. So after I get those, maybe I'll give one of those a try. But every Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. The show page is on True Social. True Social, I don't believe, is an app. You can't go to the Play Store and get it, but go to truesocial.com, set up your profile, and search for the Rust Belt Klansman. Listen, I don't care if you like Trump or if you don't. That's where the show page is. Pull your head out of your ass and quit hating everybody for somebody you don't like. That's where it is. Let's see here. If you have any news articles, thoughts, if there's something you want to get off of your chest, you can email it straight to the show at rustbeltklansmanshow@usa.com. All lowercase letters, rustbeltklansmanshow@usa.com. You can also call into the show at area code 412-254-6226. There you can leave a voice message or a text. So you can call, text, email. If you have something you want to get off of your chest, write it out. Send it in a text or an email. If it's not full of curse words and racial slurs, it's considered for the show. If you have that in there, just crumple it up and throw it in the garbage before you ever send it, because I won't read it. So be smart about it. But you could send it in. You could give your name that I could say who sent it in. Give your initials if you want, or a first name if you want, or anonymous. I don't care who's who. I don't need your information. I don't do that on a show. I don't throw anybody out there for their safety. So there's ways to get a hold of the show, utilize it. I do know on X Spaces, I'm going to try to figure out how to take calls. I know everybody can mute, you can mute, unmute from what I saw. I still got to check into it a little bit more. But I want to make it that you call in instead of everybody, you know, just jumping in. Because I'll say this when I start the live shows, if you're an idiot, you're not going to be on the air for long. I don't put up with it. If you're calling to try to cause strife and a division between our people, don't even call. Because the first time you start, you're done. That's how it'll be. That's how I ran the live show on Podbean. I always end the show in a prayer. I direct prayers to my people. Other religions pray for their people, and nobody says anything. Nobody calls Muslims racist because they don't pray for us. So, you know, before you even start, shut up. I pray towards my people. Now, listen, if you're a non-white listening to the show, you're more than welcome to bow your head. I encourage it. We all need religion. We all need Christianity, is my Christian identity. But everybody is welcome to bow their head. I just direct the prayer towards my people. With that being said, my white brothers and sisters, please bow your heads. My Lord and King, I come before you and swear again my devotion to you and your throne. Show me the desires of your heart and cause the Holy Spirit to wash over me. Teach me the ways of righteousness, and I will stand for them. Give me voice to declare the wonder of your great works. In the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your righteous instruction, cause me to be a true example to others of the nature of your character, and let my actions be flavored with the mercy and compassion you have even for your enemies. I will place myself in your care, God, and I will go where you command me. Only have mercy on me and patiently instruct me. In Jesus' name, amen. We all need guidance. We all need instruction. You know, when you think you got to the point that you know everything, you're in big trouble. Each of us learns something every day. Okay, guys, thank you for tuning in to this Tuesday evening show. I appreciate your loyal listenership. I appreciate everyone that tunes in. Even if you don't like the show, you know, that's okay. You have that right. Maybe you just tune in for the shock value, but you hate the show. That's all right. Everybody has the right to like what they want to like, not like what they don't want to like. And it goes the same for people. We have the right not to like everybody, to be forced into being told that you have to like everybody. That's Orwellian, because it's not going to happen. So thank you for tuning in. Guys, stay safe until Thursday. Stay safe always, but till Thursday when a new show drops. Thank you for listening. I love you guys, and God bless.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the Rust Belt Klansman Show. White Power!